And he's Chuck Berry's favorite drummer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Woo. Tell him about that.
Oh, tell me about Chuck.
Oh, Chuck was an interesting man. He was. He gets a bad rap, and probably, likely so. I'll tell you, the first time I played with him, we were playing at the old Waldorf in San Francisco, Bill Graham's nightclub, and there was two sold out shows. I mean, weeks in advance, it was sold out. Well, what people didn't know is that morning, it was a Saturday. That morning, he had just gotten out of prison. Mm-hmm. And Lompoc prison, and his daughter and his bodyguard / bass player and a couple of the people drove him up from Lompoc all the way to San Francisco, and they got there just in time to do the gig. You know, in fact, we were already there. We were backstage. We were all set up. We'd already done the sound check, and of course, Bill Graham had to give him his cash money before he'd come into the club, and so he came in. And he looked around and he saw us there, and the back room at the old Waldorf was huge. There was pool tables, there was pinball machines, there was all these little individual rooms if you wanted a little individual dressing room. So if you could close the door and be by yourself, you know, or you know, you could meditate or indulge in, you know, certain things if you wanted to. Yeah. And so there was this massive, massive room and he walked up and he looked around and the bass player's bodyguard was telling us, you know, don't touch him. He doesn't like to be touched. You know, don't go up to him. It's, oh, Mr. Berry. You know, he doesn't like that, blah, blah, blah. So he walks in and he looks around and his bass player, okay, everybody gather around. So he gathered around and he says, okay, who's the guitar player? Who's the bass player? Piano player? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know, and all this. And he says, okay, when I point to the sky, that's the key of B, because the sky is blue, B as in blue. He goes, when I point to the ground, that's the key of G. He goes, and when I give you this E-looking thing, that's obviously the key of E. The key of F, I won't tell you what that was, but, not that he did anything in the key of F. And then he said, okay, now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you all to exit this dressing room. And the guy took us downstairs into the stairwell right next to where the kitchen employees' lockers were. And so these guys are walking, taking off their aprons and changing clothes right there and everything. And that's where he put us. So we came, we did our show. He really liked me, apparently, we had two fantastic shows, and at the end of the show, we were finishing our last number, and we were playing, you know, he was kind of waving goodbye, and we were playing, just going for it. And then he walks over to me, and he grabs my hand, and it hurt. I mean, I was playing, you know, and he grabs one of my hands, and he raises my hand like, you know, like a champion boxer or something, and he's pointing at me, you know, and then he walked off stage, and the bass player walked over to me, and we're still playing. He goes, that is a hell of a compliment from Chuck. Well, Chuck does that. He goes, that's a hell of a compliment. So I was able to do that a couple of times with him. I did, you know, he would, you know, come in and ask for me, you know, and whenever he came around into the San Francisco area. And I remember one of the times I was playing with him, same thing, you know, and I was telling these guys, you know, he doesn't like to be touched. And then the bass player showed up. Hey, Gary, what's going on, man? Good to see you. Glad you could do the gig, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, okay. He goes, I'm going to tell you guys, doesn't want to be touched. You know, he hates that, you know, and on and on and all the rules of what you do's and don'ts, you know. So then Chuck walks into the room and these people now they're scared, you know, and Chuck walks into the room and he sees me and he goes, hey man, what's going on? And he walks over and he gives me a big hug, you know, and they're looking at me like, whoa, you're touching him, you know, and like, no, he's touching me, you know, so, but, you know, we got along great. Bo Diddley, on the other hand, was a great guy. And Bill Graham was just so supportive. I mean, I got to say, you know, he's another guy that sometimes gets a bad rap. Right. But we got along great. I did a show my first time playing with Buddy Guy and Junior Wells, the two of them. I'll never forget we're playing. And Junior was like kind of kind of like acting like he was fronting the band, like he was like, you know, the leader or somehow like the Mick Jagger of, you know, and acting as if Buddy Guy was like a side man, you know. And Junior's talking to the audience and all this stuff. And finally, Buddy looks at us and he just like shakes his head and he walks up to the microphone and he says, "Hey, man, who the hell do you think you are? Sammy Davis Jr.?" He goes, "Shut the hell up." He goes, "Let's play some blues, guys. Come on, you know, key of G, you know." And then he broke into some blues and the crowd just started laughing, you know. And so I'll never forget that. And then I got to play with when I was touring with Elvin, we were his opening act. We were on Alligator Records. And then and he heard me again playing with Elvin. And then shortly thereafter, he'd asked me if I'd come on the road with him and do some gigs.
Beautiful.
And, it was just a three-piece band. I mean, me and Buddy and a bass player, and that was it. And we went up into Canada, Pacific Northwest, and that was it. You know, it was a lot of fun. Great guy. I just love the guy.
You don't have to name names, but did you have any bad, like for me, my worst interview was John Mayall. So did you have any, you know, you played with it just didn't work. Anybody like that?
Man. Ruben, he was, yeah, you know,
he's working.
You know, I gotta say, you know, yeah, right. You know, interestingly, you should say that, but you know, and this started out horribly. We ended up being dear friends, and she came out afterwards, and we ended up being good friends, and she would always ask for me, and I had long black hair all the way down to my waist. I mean, I had really long hair, and so she gave me this nickname of Running Bear. She'd go, "Hey, there's Running Bear," you know, and so because I do have some Native American blood in me, and so she says, so the first night it was Big Mama Thornton. We're playing with Big Mama Thornton. Luther Tucker and I were living together in Forest Knolls in Marin County, and it was kind of a band house. Bass player was, you know, had the house, and we were renting rooms, and we had a studio downstairs where we rehearsed. And we rehearsed all the time. I remember we rehearsed almost every day, and we would take a break at 3 o'clock because that's when Star Trek came on, and so Tucker really loves Star Trek, and so we would take a break and watch Star Trek, one morning the phone rings and this woman says, "Yeah, I want to talk to Luther Tucker," you know, and I said, "Well, you know, he's asleep right now, you know," and he goes, "I don't give a sh-," you know, and I said, "Okay," you know, so I said, "Hey, Tucker, there's somebody on the phone, you know, for you." And he says, "Well, yeah," I woke him up, you know, and he goes, "Oh, who is it?" I go, "I don't know. It's, you know, some woman." So he gets up, he's half asleep. He walks over the phone, "Hello," you know, "Hey, what's going on? All right, Willie. Yeah, you know," and he starts talking to this person. He goes, "Yeah, I got a band. Yeah, we can do that. Sure." You know, and so he hangs up and he says, "Hey, man, we got a gig playing with Big Mama Thornton. It's Willie Mae Thornton." And so, so we get there. There was this club called River City in Fairfax in Marin County. And so we go there. We go to the gig. And I'm excited. I'm just thrilled. And again, I don't think I was even 21 yet. And so we go there. She's sitting there with her sister, who was kind of her manager. And she's just, you know, we come walking up, you know, and she's scowling at me. She's just like looking me up and down like, "Who is this?" You know, and "Tucker, what are you doing, man?" You know, and so, and she's got a bottle in her purse, and as she opens up her purse, she's got a bottle, and she's got this huge knife, you know, and so, which is rather intimidating. So she, so anyway, we do the show, no rehearsing. We go up, we do the show, and we're in the middle of the song, and we're in the middle of this one song. And, right in the middle of this song, she turns around and she goes, "Drama!" You know, and I'm like, "What?" I'm just scared. And she's yelling at me, "Drummer!" And she's, you know, scowling at me. She goes, "No!" You know, and I'm going, "Oh, my God, I just want to die," you know. So what's happening is she stops it. She goes, "No, not like that, like this." And she gets it. She walks around back. I get up off the drum. She grabs the sticks out of my hands, and she starts playing the drums. Wow. And what a lot of people don't know is is Willie Mae was a hell of a drummer. She was one of the only female, you know, drummers, you know, in the blues. And a lot of people don't know. They know she played harmonica, but she was a hell of a drummer. The whole time, I just wanted to cry. I'm sitting off the side of the stage, and Luther's looking at me, and Luther's going, "I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, baby." You know, and what it was, what afterwards, I found out, it was an act. It was like a shtick. You know, it was part of her shtick where she would kick so she could play the drums. So whoever was playing drums, she'd kick them off the drums, and she's, "Let me show you how it's done." You know, and so she got to play, you know, some drums, and I didn't know that, and I was just. And Tucker says, "I'm sorry, I didn't tell you about the, you know," and he, you know, and man, I just wanted to die, you know. But afterwards, you know, we became really good friends, and she would ask for me, and you know, and she would ask Tucker, "I want Running Bear," you know. And so you know, I said, "Okay," so I would, you know, do that. But her big hit was. Hound Dog. In fact, she told me Colonel Tom Parker was in the studio when she was recording that, and she would always announce the song. She would always say, "Now this next song I'm going to do," she goes, she says, "it was stolen from me." And she goes, "I'm not even going to mention his name." She said, "but you'll know, you'll recognize the song, you know." And yeah, she was bitter. She didn't appreciate you know, having that stolen. Who would?
Yeah. Most probably not get the royalties.
Oh, she made no money. Yeah. No. And Chuck Berry got a lot. He got ripped off by a lot of agents and management and people that were just
Willie Dixon.
You know, and Willie as well, Willie Dixon. Right. Yeah. Horrible the way they were treated. And you know, the funny thing, a lot of times I didn't realize who I was playing with, you know, and I was just like, "Oh, okay, it's a gig. We're backing this guy up." And people go, "You're backing up who?" You know. And, "Really? Am I? Is that, you know? Is that cool? I mean, you know, and I guess in a way that's kind of a good thing, you know, because you don't have any, you know,
preconceptions,
yeah. Indeed. You know, you just kind of go in, okay,
just all play, right,
yeah,
be yourself, yeah.
So it was fun. Yeah, I had a great time. But you know,
what have you got?
Play an instrumental, you guys?
Yeah.
Don't know why.
tasty.
Yeah.
Now, what was that? Was one of yours?
No, actually, well, it was kind of, it was an old Sleepy John Estes.
Oh, okay.
From the 20s, I think, and then it was, you know, adulterated.
Very nicely adulterated.
Like they all were.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, I like doing that. I like taking the old blues standards and kind of learn them and then hopefully give them, breathe a little more life, a different life into it.
Well, I think that's what it's about, though, isn't it?
I mean,
it's not just doing it the same. It's putting your own, you know, that's blues. It's putting your own heart and soul into it.
To me, it is. Yeah. You know, it really is. I mean, there's different opinions about that. But, you know, it really is, to me, why I'm in it, what I'm in it for is the creative. I love the blues. I love the way it makes me feel. And then if I can add a little bit of creativity, you know.
Blues is eternal, isn't it? It's something that was somehow interpreted 100 odd years ago, and but we still feel it.
Totally. Yeah.
Do you see it going in other directions, blues? Do you see anything, young kids coming up doing something different? Or
there's some great players. Like, I mean, there really is, especially in this area too. If you go down to San Jose, there's a lot of really good blues players. Kid Anderson. One of the guys that I really think is one of the greatest right now, or at least the best, one of the best up and coming talents.
Kid Anderson.
Yeah. I agree totally.
And I don't want to just single him out. I mean, there's a lot of really good players out there.
There's our pal Chris Kane.
That's right. Chris Kane. I don't know if you feel
me. I know the name. Yeah, that's really pal.
He's I think he's originally from San Jose, he's been around for a long time. He's one of those people. It's just a force when you go see him play. You know, you really have to experience him. You know. So.
Yeah. There's a kid came out from Clarksdale, Mississippi that I played with about 5 years ago, and his name is Chris Stone Ingram, and his nickname is Kingfish, and he was 15 years old, big kid. He was from Clarksdale, Mississippi. Bill Bowker and Charlie Musselwhite brought him out here, and we were playing a blues festival at Lagunitas about 5 years ago, and they asked me if I could put a band together, so I got a really great bass player and guitar player. We backed him up, and he was very pleased. He was very happy with us. Big kid. He was 15 years old and weighed 300 pounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And but was a force to be reckoned with. And 5 years ago, he's at 15. You know, he's still got a little bit of that young man's voice, kind of that kid's voice in him, you know. But his guitar playing was incredible. Well, a few weeks ago, he opened up. Buddy Guy was playing at the Luther Burbank Center, and Chris Stone, a Kingfish, was opening up for him. And now, at 20 years old, 5 years later, his voice has matured, and you know he's a man. I mean, he's you know, he's no longer a boy, and he's just a force to be reckoned with. Man, he is phenomenal. He was just people were just blown away. I mean, he played his first song, he got a standing ovation. I mean, and that's just kind of how he is. And great songwriter. He can play drums. He can play piano. He really liked what we did because he would call things out that most people don't always pick up out here. And we did an encore. I'll never forget. We did an encore, and he turned around. He says, "What do you guys want to do?" And he said, "No, man, whatever you want to do, man." And he goes, and he looks at us and he goes, "Okay, church beat." And a lot of people don't know what church beat is. And you know, and he, after he said church beat, he thought, "Oh man, these guys aren't going to know what I'm talking about." Well, it's absolutely, we knew what he was talking about. So, and it's just like, it's just like, you know, dun, 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 piano, dun, 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 dun. Like
oh, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Church beat is.
Oh, yeah. that.
Yeah. And he was just thrilled. He had his big smile on his face and he goes, man, you guys, he said, you guys are the first guys to get this, you know, and so he was very pleased. And so were we. And he's embraced it, you know, he's embraced it, in the blues and his mom looks out for him, man. His mom is very protective, which is really sweet to see, you know, very, very southern and very polite, you know, very courteous young man and just,
handles everyone.
Yeah. When I went to go see him, I brought him a pizza. And so I stopped and bought him a pizza and I knew he would appreciate that. So,
but, how's it going, man?
Play.
Yeah.
I have to apologize for the sound of this drum here. I'm doing these reed sticks and just because of the volume level, I don't want to play too loud. And I have a hi-hat and a snare drum and these things don't always sound the best, you know, so here I am, you know, making excuses, you know.
After all these years, still making excuses.
I was always told, don't make excuses. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, so I'm sorry.
Individually, how can people contact you? Emails, websites?
Yeah, I have an email. They can contact me at silvadrum@comcast.net. And I'm doing some booking. You know, I've been booking some gigs. I booked a couple of gigs for a Volker. I've done some booking for. In fact, I'm doing a lot of the booking for Nick Ravenitis. Harvey Mandel, I was booking a couple of things for him. I help out wherever I can. You know, Annie Sampson, I booked some gigs for Annie Sampson. I've been doing this for a long time, and people know that, people tell me that if you're bringing somebody in, you know, we got a feeling, we know it's going to be good. You know, so, and that's not me saying that. I'm all about humility, and I don't like to tout myself, but after doing this for so many years, you got to take respect. I always tell people, and students and you know, fans and you know, people alike, anybody that in blues, respect goes a long, long, long way, because we don't make, blues musicians don't make money. You know, we're at the bottom of the, you know, relates to the blues and people that, I mean, some of the best musicians I've ever seen in my life know how to play the blues. They all revert back to the blues. I remember I went to see back in the 70s, a friend of mine and I went to the Great American Music Hall and we saw Herb Ellis, Barney Kessel, and Joe Pass. And they played one time, and then the next time it was Barney Kessel, Herb Ellis, and Charlie Byrd. Well, the three of them are sitting in a chair. You know, they're playing these big, thick jazz guitars, you know, and some big hollow body type electrics, you know. And they were just sitting in a semicircle, you know, and talking to the audience and playing whatever they wanted to play, just unrehearsed. I remember at one point they'd played, Barney Kessel was from Texas and Herb Ellis was from Oklahoma, and they're sitting around playing, and of course Joe Pass, you know, I mean, and Charlie Byrd as well the second time. But I remember at one point Herb Ellis looks at Barney Kessel and he goes, "Well, what do you want to do, Barney?" He goes, "God, I don't know, man. I don't. What do you feel like doing?" And Herb says, "I know. Let's play the blues." He says, "Let's play some blues." So, man, these guys, you talk about playing the blues, man. They outdid everybody, man. I remember driving back across the Golden Gate Bridge and thinking, nobody's got anything. These guys have got it, man. Yeah. They can play anything, and they play it all extremely well. I mean, I had a new I looked at rock guitar players differently after that. These guys ain't nothing, man, you know. That's so true. In comparison, but...
No, but I agree. The blues is the basis of so much other music, you know.
Right.
Totally. And when and today, it's funny. If you listen to modern pop music, the thing that really attracts the people is that, you know, the voices and the inflections that they do. A lot of that is just based on the blues.
Absolutely.
Thrown in with a bunch of other stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? I really do think that it makes a connection for people when they hear that kind of thing. You know,
absolutely. No, I agree with you totally. It's funny, I was watching this movie called The Rumble, and it's about Native American musicians, you know, rock and roll and blues and so forth, and they were talking about Charlie Patton. And I remember Charlie Patton was one of Elvin Bishop's all-time favorites. I used to go over to Elvin's house, and Elvin had like 78s just sprawled all across his carpet floor, you know, in his living room floor, and he would know, just pick one up, and go, "Oh yeah, listen to this," and it would be Charlie Patton, and he'd put it on, and it sounded like somebody was frying eggs in the studio, and it was the Native American influence, you know, Charlie Patton was Choctaw. He was Choctaw Indian and half, and black, and a blues thing, and almost a Native American thing, rhythm, you know, involved in that. But Annie Sampson, same thing. Her family's from Louisiana. She's Choctaw. Oh, yeah. And black as well. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. 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 I love that woman. Man, oh, man. Jeez. She's fun. She is something. Yeah. She's wonderful. Incredible talent.
Yeah. And she's around. We love to see her.
Yeah. She's going to be. I think we're doing Taft Street Wine. No, are we doing Taft? Yeah, I think we're doing Taft.
On the 9th? Yeah, you said.
Yeah, and...
Taft Street on the 9th of June, you said.
Yeah. I forget what else we're doing, but... in fact, we're playing next Thursday at Van Cleef's in Oakland. Yeah, she's just a wonderful person, and I've been fortunate enough to... I guess gain her confidence, and she'll call me and she'll say, you know, "Hey man, this one of our guitar players can't make it to the gig, you know, he's got something else going on, so I was thinking about getting this guy or that guy." And she says, "Do you got any suggestions?" And I said, "You know, I know this keyboard player lives up in, you know, in Occidental area between Occidental and Sebastopol, and you might like him, you know.
She loves me.
Yeah. And so I've turned her on to Ruben. Oh, she wonderful. Absolutely loves Ruben. And she says that's quite an addition. She said whenever Ruben plays with Annie's band, Annie says the energy level just lifts. It just, you know, he just takes it to a different level.
Yeah.
No, seriously. No, she told me that, honestly.
How about a raise?
No. Don't go over your head. So,
Volker, tell us about your contact information. Before we get all wrapped up.
I have a Facebook page, which I'm, you know, terribly neglecting. but, you know, email is just, would just be my info and then at my name, VolkerStriffler.com.
Okay.
That's the most direct email. But, and you know, I do look at Facebook. I'm not a huge fan of it. And it has nothing to do with the people that are on it, but, you know.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's my only way of, I don't have a website, but that's kind of one of the only ways I can promote my gigs, you know.
It works, and it's a great medium for that. It really is.
Yeah. You know. Unfortunately, sometimes I get involved in a little ranting politically.
Yeah, that's great.
But I'll keep that.
A little of that.
Yeah. Indeed. But yeah, you can find me on Facebook as well.
Okay. You can find me on Facebook. I only have 3 friends.
Aww.
Two of them are here.
Yeah.
How's your mom doing, by the way?
My mom. My dog.
Yeah.
Ruben Valtierra, RubenValtierra, @me.com.
Great.
Yeah, look for me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, and Ruben is going to be, we're going to miss him. I enjoy his company, and I not only enjoy playing music with him and learning from him, you know, he knows how to pull it out of me, you know. I got to say, you know, there's styles that I hadn't played in years, and he just has a way of saying, you can do this. Come on, what's wrong with you, you know? And then I find that I can.
You can do it.
You know? And I go, man, I used to do this all the time. And, you know, it's just, he's just kind of reawakened, the sleeping thing inside of me that, it's always been there. You know?
Wow. What's that? Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to bring my cajon, but Ruben said, yeah, so you're not known as a cajon player. You're known as a drummer. So, and he's right. So I said, okay, I'll bring my snare and my hat. And now I wish I would have brought my kick drum.
No. He's not ready.
You got to transcend your stylistic boundaries sometimes.
Yeah, it's out in the car, believe it.
You had your chance.
No, I had a... Dr. Volker and I and Don Bassey, we opened up for the old Last Day Saloon was Sonny Landreth. Sonny Landreth was playing, but one of the stipulations for Sonny Landreth was no drum set. The opening act couldn't have a drum set.
Oh, wow.
And so we went on. I brought the cajon. And we had a good time. And a few days later, I went to the Santa Cruz Blues Festival. I was standing in line. Was backstage. My cousin was kind of one of the finance managers of the Santa Cruz Blues Festival. He used to donate a lot of money. And so he would invite me down, give us backstage passes. We got to mingle and hang out. So I'm waiting to get into the porta potty in line, this guy comes up behind me and taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey man, aren't you the guy that was playing the cajon the other night in Santa Rosa?" And it was Sonny, and I went, "Yeah, that was me." He goes, "Man, that was cool." Then he called his drummer over. His drummer was phenomenal, man. He was twirling sticks and just amazing. Oh yeah. Yeah. The bass player, man, that guy, Dave, and they were just like, "Oh yeah, man, that was great. You guys were fantastic." And that was nice to hear.
Do you want to just do a little something before we end?
I mean, I know all the Kinks and Rolling Stones and Beatles and, Paul Revere and the Raiders and, stuff like that. But,
right. Oh. Good lead-in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Karen Carpenter, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You let me down.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was you.
No, that wasn't me. Oh. No, I'm sorry. No. But you want to do... I had a request from a friend. She said, she asked, "God, I hope you guys do... I know you're tired of hearing me ask this song, but I don't need no doctor."
Oh no.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gary Silver, Volker Striffler, and Ruben Valtierra. Thank you so much. And
thank you. Thanks for having me, Arnold. And thanks for letting me invite my buddies. And, if you guys hear Volker Striffler playing around, please come and see us. Annie Sampson, Nick Ravenitis, please come on down.
I'll be at the Greek
Yes,
theater.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
And Ruben is going on the road with Weird Al Yankovic in a couple of weeks, and we won't see him for about 3 months, and we're going to miss him.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I better get right on out. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Guys.
Thank you. Okay, I hope you enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful blues evening. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.